It's 7 o'clock on KALW. Time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show with your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
All right. Thank you very much, Joanne, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely week, and we also hope you can spare us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course we're welcoming your participation out there. It's very, very important. We hope you will call in with a question or answer. We'll be giving you questions momentarily, and those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134, or toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER, one, and that is the numeral one, so that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Feel free to use that with a question or a comment for the show. We don't read them during the show, but they all get read. So mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. If you would like to hear this show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And also, if you'd like a podcast of this show, should be up and running within a few hours of our show tonight, also at kalw.org and iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. So, all that being said, we will start with a round of introductions. And here's the first. Cameron Shaw would like to give a shout-out to Rachel Morrison for being the first ever female nominee. Uh-oh, there goes Jeremy's questions. For the Best Cinematography Oscar. There you go. Good job.
Good job. All right, Jeremy Horwitz is getting Peruvian food after the show. Any recommendations? Feel free to call in.
You mean any Peruvian restaurant will do, is that?
No, I have a particular Peruvian restaurant.
Okay,
I'm looking for, I guess, particular items.
Or, oh, okay.
I don't speak Peruvian. Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, asks our listeners to get ready for an hour of excitement, adventure, and romance, which will be on in about 60 minutes.
All right, so that is us, and we'll begin the questioning with Cameron Shaw.
Okay.
I'm waiting for those science fiction questions.
I don't think I brought any this week.
Oh, okay.
The Grammys are tonight, probably going on as we speak. Mm-hmm. This was the first year that Grammy voters were able to do what?
Email their votes in.
Oh, you're so close.
I'm going
to give
in.
It to you. Yeah, vote online.
Oh, okay.
Too easy.
All right. Go ahead.
Give Should I do another? Okay. Yeah. In 1994, Mary Tyler Moore offered to pay $1,000 to save the life of what kind of animal?
One specific animal.
It was one specific specimen of a kind of animal. Yes.
Oh, it was it the cat?
No.
It wasn't. Okay.
No.
From the logo.
Not the cat. From
Morris,
the
I think. Anyway.
Is this a rare animal?
No.
For $1,000, I would hope not. It's a whale. You know, she's really cheap, apparently. I mean, especially now.
So it was a question of maybe a heartrending case of if she wanted to save this particular.
It was an animal in captivity.
Had the animal appeared on television or film previously?
Not that I'm aware.
So it's not an elephant.
No.
All right.
Oh, it's not a okay. So it's not a killer whale or. SeaWorld or whatever.
$1,000. That's just chintzy even for 94.
Okay.
For a big animal, at least.
Ask the question once more.
Okay. In 1994, Mary Tyler Moore offered to pay $1,000 to save the life of what kind of animal? And I will say that it was an animal in captivity.
And it's not a human?
Not a human.
Okay.
Is it a chimp?
No.
Is it a primate? I mean, we're
going to
be 20
questions. No, it is not a primate.
Okay.
Oh, that helps.
And Jeremy, your turn.
Sure. Well, I was going to ask about Rachel Morrison, but all right. She's been covered. Who are the only three people to receive Academy Award nominations for picture director and screenplay for the directing debuts? Only three people.
Once more.
To receive nominations for the directing debuts for picture director, and screenplay. Academy Awards, of course.
But the are you saying that the person who was the director also did the screenplay?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Or co-wrote. One of the three cases is a co-writing credit.
Was Jordan Peele nominated for screenplay? Is he one of them?
He is one of the three, okay. Absolutely.
Good job. Is
the other two are older in terms of what year they happened.
Okay.
So, is one of the other people African-American as well?
No.
And so they did the it was nominated for Best Picture, and then the director also did the screenplay.
Mm-hmm. One of these, I believe, was technically a co-direction.
Is Warren Beatty one of them?
Warren Beatty's the co-direction.
Red? Nice.
Yes.
Right.
No, no.
Not for
it
Red.
It is Warren Beatty, and I did just ask the person. It is not for Red's.
For Heaven Can Wait?
Yes, it's for Heaven Can Wait. Although he did, of course, get nominated for Red's for directing.
Right. Okay. All right.
And in fact, he won, didn't he, I think?
Yes, I think he did. Okay. Yeah. All right. If you'd ask that question once more.
Sure. Who, in addition to Warren Beatty and Jordan Peele, is the only person to receive an Academy Award nomination for their debut film for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Screenplay, all three?
And the one that's outstanding here is older.
It is chronologically between the two we've heard.
Oh, okay.
They are the non-Jordan Peele ones are both before 2017.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Bill.
Hi.
I'm in Albany, and it was a lobster.
It was a lobster.
Oh. And oh, yeah, okay.
Do you happen to know how much Rush Limbaugh then offered to pay to eat it?
No.
Okay.
Rush Limbaugh subsequently offered $2,000 to eat said lobster.
Oh, jeez.
Hopefully that's, they don't have lobster Peruvian restaurants.
Thank you very much. Was that it?
Okay. Bye.
Well, thank you.
Perfect call.
All right. So what is the only National Park Service site that is south of the equator?
Where's Kira? I mean, she's in Finland, but this is her kind of question.
What is the only
U.S. National Park?
Yeah.
Yes, the only U.S. National Park Service site that is south of the equator.
Wow. Is there something at Antarctica?
No.
Okay. Huh. Is this one of the five territories? Guam, Northern Marianas Islands, Puerto Rico. Well, obviously not Puerto Rico, but... I'm taking that as a yes. the total silence and powerful stare. But I don't know what's on any of those. Well, obviously, not Puerto Rico, but yeah.
I would think it'd be something in Guam as well.
That's where the U.S. wakes up or something like that. I forget their slogan.
It is not in Guam.
Okay. Not in Guam.
No.
Is it in the Northern Marianas Islands?
It is not.
The U.S. Virgin Islands?
No.
It's not in Puerto Rico?
No.
There's five. How am I forgetting one of them? Fantastic. It's the fifth one, right? Fantastic.
It's something that you have a name. Let's put it that way.
I see.
Okay. So we'll think it over. What is the only U.S. National Park Service site that is south of the equator? All right. second question. Let's see. Who was the first actor to be nominated, first man to be nominated for Best Actor in a non-English speaking role?
Ooh.
Oh.
Who was the first man to be nominated for Best Actor Academy Award, in a non-English, a totally non-English speaking role?
Emil Jannings?
No. Silent films don't count.
All right.
Was it Roberto Benigni?
It is not. Okay. Roberto Benigni. I didn't say one nominated.
Sure.
So, once more, who was the first actor to be nominated for Best Actor in a non-English-speaking, totally non-English-speaking role?
What language?
Well,
that would give. All right. I figured I'd get greedy. I got too greedy.
All right.
Sophia Loren.
Not Sophia Loren.
No.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, I have a couple of suggested answers and or guesses and one question.
Okay.
So did someone already say about the Mary Tyler Moore animal?
Yes.
Okay. So then I have a question. What was the name of the bird over Central Park that Mary Tyler Moore was involved in trying to save, as along with a number of other people who lived in an apartment around Central Park? And then the other, the guesses I have, would Catherine Bigelow of the Hurt Locker be one for the someone who was nominated as, like, best director, best...
Not her debut. She certainly did some films, including Point Break, before that.
Oh, so. Okay. And then
otherwise a good
for
guess.
The National Park Service place, is that... Could that be in Samoa?
It is
American
in Samoa.
Samoa.
American Samoa.
It
yes.
is?
Yes.
Huh, okay.
Is
and
the
then,
National Park
I don't know,
of American
first
Samoa.
First best actor, non-English speaking, could that be like Gerard Depardieu?
It is not.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Yes, the only National Park Service site south of the equator is the National Park of American Samoa. There you go. And the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134. Again, with a question or answer, 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. We have some lines open right now. 866-798-8255. Cameron, you go ahead.
Okay. What musician has both an asteroid and a species of cockroach named after him?
Is this person living?
No.
Okay. Not Frank Zappa, is it?
It is not Frank
I like that
Zappa.
Guess, though.
It's a good guess, yes.
It's weird enough.
It is. He is not living. Is it? He's a rock musician.
Yes.
This person was a rock musician.
Yes.
Chuck Berry.
No, it's another good
cockroach,
guess.
Cockroach, though.
I have That's, heard this someplace.
How do you get a cockroach named after you? Is there a song with a... Now, Spanish Flea is not quite the same, and Herb Albert's not dead, but...
No.
It is somebody who's dead.
All right.
Somebody who's dead.
La Cucaracha. A traditional Spanish song. Who wrote that again? Yeah.
Not Jim Morrison, is it?
No.
Okay, repeat the question again.
What musician has both an asteroid and a species of cockroach named after him?
All right. And Jeremy, you go ahead.
You should tell us the species of cockroach's name. That would.
I unfortunately didn't write it down.
I'm sure it's just like a Latinized.
Probably give it away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
all right. Let's see. Hal Moore won the Best Cinematography Oscar for 1935's A Midsummer Night's Dream. What unique property of this win is now impossible to achieve?
He was the only write-in candidate ever.
There you go. The only write-in candidate to win.
To win.
Yes.
I don't
I'm pretty sure I've been written in for an Oscar at some point in time.
Yes.
And they've disallowed that for since like the 30s.
All right. So. Give us another question.
Yes. Sorry. Not the 30s. All right. What is the only number whose English language name, when spelled out, has its letters in alphabetical order? In forward alphabetical order. The only number whose English language name, when spelled out, has its letters in alphabetical order. This is a bit of a thinker, less of,
yeah.
I guess, a little more puzzly than trivia-y.
40.
It is 40. Yeah, there you go. It's what you know when you got it. Exactly. 39 guesses later. All right.
We have some lines open right now. Please give us a call. Area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer, Jeremy Horwitz, cryptographer. We had a question earlier about your duties as a cryptographer. What do you do?
Cryptography. Actually, the bright answer, of course, is it's secret. I mean,
you'd have to kill me.
I'd have to kill myself first. Yes, but in that order.
But generally speaking, tell people what cryptography you take.
Cryptography is all about keeping things secret that are supposed to be secret, making sure the people you want to be able to read these secret things can and the bad guys can't, whoever those might be. It's also about other things like digital signatures and things that over the past 20 years have become really important for computer companies and software companies in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. So,
are you the one that designed the Orphan Annie decoder ring?
I did the Ovaltine. That was me. Right. Orphan Annie's a little before my time.
All right. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And the number to join us are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. You are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Okay, let me give you a question here. There are 50,000 Chinese restaurants in the United States, and I've eaten in about 100 of them. What are the 10 most common names for Chinese restaurants in the U.S.? What are the 10 most common names for Chinese restaurants in the United States? There are 50,000 Chinese restaurants in the U.S., and naturally there are some duplications here.
How many of them are bad puns?
Well, use your own judgment on that.
I see.
What are the 10 most common names for Chinese restaurants in the U.S.?
Hunan Restaurant.
No,
Hunan is super generic.
Hunan is not even in the top 10.
Wow. Walk and Roll.
No, that, I wouldn't go for the pun yet.
Okay, good. Oh, yeah, yes. Yes.
So there are 50,000 Chinese restaurants in the United States. What are the 10 most common names?
Gosh, I don't even know where to start.
Eric's?
Well, you could be, I will give you a hint that you can be pretty sure that China is, the word China is in the title of some of the restaurants.
Ah, okay. Dragon China. China
no.
Dragon.
No.
Damn. Emperor of China.
Ooh. No.
Empress of China.
No.
Chinese Empress.
No. So I will say that China is in the majority of the names.
Okay.
The word China. The name China. Okay, so again, there are 50,000 Chinese restaurants in the U.S. What are the 10 most common names for Chinese restaurants in the United States?
American Samoa.
Not yet. And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ed.
Hi, Ed.
How are you?
Good.
Good. So before I ask my question, I'd like to thank everybody who wrote to the city about the killing of Sherry Rideout right at the crosswalk. The driver was cited for not yielding to a pedestrian, and you and I, a lot of people, know that happens all the time. However, they did not charge her with any crime. If you and I did that, we would charge her at least with vehicular manslaughter. That is terrible.
All right. It's,
yeah. Okay, my question is, interesting question. January 31st, we're going to have very unusual moon. It happens only once every 150 years. Do you know what will happen? That's actually a couple of days from now. It's Wednesday, January 31st.
It's a full blood, full blue blood moon lunar eclipse, I believe. Is that all the things?
Super.
It's, it's like a super moon and a blood moon and a blue moon, and there's a
and
full eclipse.
All at the same time.
Yes.
All at the same time.
Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, everybody should watch it. Well, actually,
it's an eclipse.
Thing.
How do you watch
everybody,
it?
Everybody, please watch it, okay? So it's Wednesday evening. All right, the second question, and that's all going to be, is, as everything else, all of our Western customs came from ancient Egypt. One is unusual, actually, is regarding women. Women, 5,000 years ago and after that, used birth control method. They enjoyed sex, but many did not want to get pregnant. Do you know what they used?
Honey.
No.
It's been a popular answer.
Yeah.
So why not?
What did they use?
Right.
They used it and didn't insist that their partners used it. Use it.
No, the woman used it.
The woman used it.
You know, it'd be fun, you know, to have the audience. I'm sure some people know.
All right, we can leave it out.
Not, yeah. Yeah, aside from Mary's concision, which, of course, Jewish people adopted, it also started in ancient Egypt. So let's see if somebody comes with the answer. What ancient Egyptian women used for birth control?
All right.
Thank you.
Leave
Have a good night.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. Sparky Maddie. How are you all
evening.
Doing?
Thanks. Good.
All right. The number, of course, that's all the letters are in alphabetical order is 40.
Indeed.
Right.
What's the only number that's in reverse alphabetical order?
In English?
In English.
Oh, darn. Hmm.
How many letters in it?
Three.
One.
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 Yeah, never heard of it.
And, as a quick one, what is the only number that has the same number of letters as the number it represents?
Four.
Four. All right. Asteroid. Is that David Bowie?
No, but wouldn't that be great if that was the answer? No, it's not. I'm sorry.
All right. Chinese restaurants.
Yes.
Let me reel off a few. Good luck.
No.
Long life.
No.
Great Wall.
Of China.
Great Wall of China.
I'm going to give that to you. Great Wall Chinese restaurant. Yes, that's close enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oscar debut. Is that John Singleton?
That's what I was thinking, but
no.
He said no.
I initially thought it was.
You got a directing
the
nom.
The other third one was going to be Orson Welles. But you said it was in between.
I did indeed.
And that's far from in between.
Well, that's also his debut was before they started giving the Oscar for picture to a person. Up until 1950, they gave it to the production company.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right. And that's it. We're done.
All right. Thanks, Marky.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And if you'd like to join us here on Minds Over Matter with a question or answer, we have two numbers, area code 415-841-4134. Again, 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. Cameron, it is your turn.
Okay. What do the following companies have in common? And this is something from the past year. Charming Charlie, Payless Shoes, Toys R Us, and Wet Seal.
What do the following... Well, they...
What do they have in common that occurred in the past year?
Did they close the majority of their stores or are closing the majority of their stores?
You're close.
Going into bankruptcy?
Yes, they filed for bankruptcy.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Charming Charlie, I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, there's no reason for you to be.
No, there's exactly one reason for you to be, and I think we've just passed
it. Okay, should I do another?
Yes.
See, okay. Newt, July, and Dietz are all characters in what classic American novel?
The novelization of aliens.
Newt.
Newt, July, and Dietz.
July and Dietz. Can you spell Dietz?
D-E-E-T-S.
Classic American novel.
I would call it classic. It's from the 20th century.
Okay.
Is it a genre novel?
Yes.
Newt, July, and Dietz. Okay. It's not Southern Gothic?
I wouldn't say Gothic, no.
Okay. Would you say Southern?
Partially.
Okay. Like American Samoa South or not?
No.
That far south? Okay.
No.
Okay. All right, thanks. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hi, David.
Hi. So I wasn't sure with the question about picture director and screenplay. Was Francis Ford Coppola, did he not qualify because that wasn't his first screenplay?
Yeah, it has to be debut film.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was his debut as a director, and right. But, okay, then I'm lost there, and I'm pretty sure that Laurence Olivier redirected and acted, but I don't think it was a screenplay for Hamlet.
He did not write the... I don't think he got a nomination for 1948's adapted screenplay.
Yeah, but anyway, so the Chinese restaurants, I'm going to use any combination of golden or silver with the following. Lantern?
You know, I don't want to get you too deep into it because there is no gold and no silver anywhere in the top 10 names.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
What about lantern?
No lantern.
So, well, then how about just plain the lantern?
There is no lantern in the top 10 names.
It's got to be a dragon then.
There is no dragon in the top 10 names.
I'm now utterly at a loss for it. A peacock.
There is no peacock. There is no animal.
Any zodiac animal.
There is no animal in the top ten.
Wow. Okay. No chance I've ever been to, so I'm not unfamiliar with those. I do have a question for you, though.
Go ahead.
Okay. Where do they get the pink color in Good and Plenty candies from?
Beetles.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cochineal beetles. Which actually most people find is the least disturbing thing about Good and Plenty.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway. Plenty of beetles, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're good.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, teacher and cinematographer Cameron Shaw, cryptographer, secretive cryptographer Jeremy Horowitz, and I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And please give us a call, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Jeremy, it is your turn.
Sure. According to Sir Anthony Hopkins, his Oscar-winning turn as Hannibal Lecter had a voice that he combined from what three sources? Let me tell you that one is number 13 on AFI's 100 Greatest Villains list. And two are real people, both of whose portrayals have led to Oscars. So once again, according to Sir Anthony Hopkins, his Oscar-winning turn as Hannibal Lecter had a voice that he combined from what three sources? One is number 13 on AFI's 100 Greatest Villains list, and two are real people, both of whose portrayals, or portrayal of each of them, has led to an Oscar.
I know he does a great impression of Olivier. Is Olivier one of them?
He's not.
But
now I want to hear that.
Matter of fact, he dubbed in Olivier's when they
Sky Captain threw
in
or something.
No, when they threw in a couple of scenes that had been cut out of Spartacus. Hmm. They had lost the dialogue on it, and he dubbed in Olivier's voice. So
Olivier had 26 years to do it, but all right.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Two real people who have been portrayed to Oscars, and one who is the number 13 on AFI's 100 Greatest Villains list, and voiced by a gentleman named Douglas Rain.
100 Greatest Villains list.
Yes.
You mean his turn as a villain was...
One is a fictional character, and right. The other two are real people.
Okay. Right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. Am I on?
You are.
Oh, okay. So how about Happy Immortal for the Chinese restaurant names?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very
Bye.
Much.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. And let's see. Can I ask you here? What is the only national memorial run by the National Park Service, the only national memorial that commemorates a natural disaster?
The election, the 2000 election.
That's
all right. We got that out of the way.
What is the only national memorial run by the National Park Service that commemorates a natural disaster?
Mount St. Helens? No.
No.
Is there
fire?
Is there something in Galveston, Texas?
There's not.
Okay.
Not anymore. Heyo. Is it going to give it away if you tell us what kind of natural disaster it is?
I think it probably would.
Okay. All right, there's floods, there's fires, there's earthquakes, there's hurricanes, there's...
It's a national memorial, but it's not necessarily within a national park.
No, it is not. But it is run by the National Park Service, so you could...
It's one of their...
It's on a finite, well-defined list.
What is the only national memorial run by the National Park Service that commemorates a natural disaster?
I'm just going to sit here and leave some dead air.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
Is that the Johnstown Flood?
It is the Johnstown Flood National Memorial. Very good. Yeah. Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
I can't believe there's not a golden dragon in the top 10.
There is not, and not even a mention of a dragon.
Now, top 10 guesses.
Just to remind you that the name China is in several of the of the restaurant names.
How about Great China?
No.
Okay. There's a character character named Dietz in Lonesome Dove, I remember.
Ah, there is. Good job.
Oh, very yes. good.
Is there also a Newt in July?
There is also a Newt and a July.
All right. Oh,
okay. And let's see, in the names for it, asteroid and whatever it was.
Cockroach.
Cockroach.
Well, Jerry Garcia is a fan of science.
You're absolutely correct.
Oh, that makes sense. All right.
It's significant that it's a roach.
Yes, I believe that would be a reference to marijuana.
It is.
Okay. So I have a question.
Yes.
There's a philosophy textbook that's taught in ethics classes. It's called Vice and Virtue in Everyday Life. And it's in its seventh edition, so this is very often used. And there are there's like 500 some pages, and there are two short stories in it. And one of the short stories is Herman Melville's Billy Budd,
mm-hmm.
which appears. I think this is not the only place where this shows up. These two short stories show up in ethics textbooks often. Mm-hmm. So. The question is, what is the other one?
Is the other one also by an American author?
No.
Yes.
And okay. But not Melville?
It's not Melville.
Is it Mark Twain?
No.
All right. I'm out of American authors at that point.
Is it Stephen Crane?
No, think female.
Oh, female.
Huh. Is it a female author?
Is it Edith Wharton?
No, think recently deceased female.
Harper Lee.
No.
Okay. She's known for her prolific writing.
Think very recently.
Ursula K. Le Guin?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, very recent.
Left Hand of Darkness or something.
Do you know the short story?
I do not. I do not.
There's a science fiction either. Question, though, almost, sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, kind of. I'm afraid, no, I can't go any further, I'm afraid.
Okay. It's The Ones Who Walk Away from Omelas.
I've not read that.
All right.
Oh. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure. Bye.
Bye-bye. And?
Ursula Le Guin's dead? What?
Oh, like a,
that's how we learned
ago.
It.
All right. Cameron, it's your turn.
Can I guess on the AFI's 13th
oh, yeah.
villain? Was it Robert Mitchum, Night of the Hunter?
No.
No.
Should no, the honest. Villain is actually voiced by someone named Douglas Rain.
No, yes, but
you mean the actor
who voices the
villain is Douglas Rain?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
But I thought that the character would be, oh, the 13th one. I'm sorry, yes. I misunderstood.
Such a clumsily worded question.
So
I blame me.
It is the fact that the villain is voiced by
yeah, that's
somebody,
supposed to be a little bit of a hint.
Is it a animated film?
It is not.
But you do not see this?
You do not see Douglas Rain at any point in time in the film, I believe.
So
you just hear his voice.
Then it is Star Wars.
It is not.
Not Star Wars.
No.
Okay. Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ned in Berkeley.
Hi.
Hi. So on your debut screenplay question, would it be Matt Damon?
No, he didn't direct...
Goodwill
the film.
Hunting.
Yeah, that was Gus Van Sant.
Ah, okay.
We need director, picture, and screenplay, all of them.
Right. Okay. And I have a silly question.
That's all right.
Why don't polar bears eat penguins?
Why don't polar bears eat penguins?
Is this a riddle slash joke? Or is it a...
I'm sure it's a riddle slash joke.
Well, there's a real answer.
Okay. Why don't polar bears eat penguins?
To get to the other side.
No.
Is there too much blubber involved?
No, they want the blubber.
Because they're at the wrong... They're never co-located?
Oh, yeah,
because one is
the
north...
Same,
the penguins
right.
are in the south pole and the polar bear is in the north pole.
That's good. Actually,
yes.
That's good.
Yes.
Clever.
All right.
Silly in a good way.
Well,
all right.
Thank you very much. It's a fun program.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And Cameron, I think it was your turn.
Yeah. Let me get back to my page. Okay. All right. How many of Henry VIII's wives were beheaded, and which ones? There's one that's a given and one.
So Anne Boleyn's given.
Anne Boleyn is
died,
a given.
Died, survived. You know, the
yeah,
rhyme.
She's blanked after she was beheaded.
So Catherine Parr?
No.
No. Anne Boleyn. How many were beheaded?
How many were beheaded and which ones?
Well, Anne Boleyn, obviously.
Yes.
And
Jane Seymour died, I thought, naturally.
She died in
childbirth. For Edward, though.
And Catherine Howard. Were she beheaded?
Catherine Howard, yes.
All right. So.
That's it.
All right.
That's it. That's two. Yeah.
Because number four, he remained friends with, and six outlived him.
Yep.
Right.
Although I guess she could have been beheaded after he died.
So if you go to the National Portrait Gallery in London, you get a pretty good...
With their heads not primer, on the portrait.
Primer on Henry VIII's wives. Oh. Okay. Something else?
Sure. Let's see. What was the first video on YouTube to reach 4 billion views? And at the moment has actually, I think, passed 5 billion.
Is it something by Adele?
No.
Wow.
And it's not Gangnam Style.
It's not, but that's a good guess.
That was the first
Gangnam
to a
Style,
billion.
Yeah, was the first to a billion.
Katy Perry...
It's fairly recent. Despacito. Yeah, I'm using all my fast answer questions.
Oh, it is Despacito.
It's Despacito,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
Which I would bet has won a Grammy in the last few hours, though I don't know.
Probably. Yeah.
Who knows? All right, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Cameron, do you have anything outstanding?
I think mine have been answered.
Okay.
They got Jerry Garcia.
Jeremy.
Yeah. According to Sir Anthony Hopkins, his Oscar-winning turn as Hannibal Lecter had a voice that he combined from what three sources? And I gave a little hint. One is number 13 on AFI's 100 Greatest Villains list, as voiced by Douglas Rain. And the other two are real people who have been portrayed to Oscars for other people. Not too many real people have been portrayed to Oscars.
So is one... Like Richard III or somebody?
No.
No. Okay.
No. None of them are... both of them are 20th century people.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'll even tell you, none of them are Shakespearean characters.
Did you get all your... You didn't get all your movie directors, did you?
I did not yet.
Okay.
No. And then also, who, in addition to Warren Beatty and Jordan Peele, is the only person to receive an Academy Award nomination for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Screenplay for... his or her directing debut.
And who was the first actor to be nominated for Best Actor in a totally non-English-speaking role?
And this is a speaking role, though?
Oh, yeah. Totally. Okay. Yeah. Who was the first man to be nominated for Best Actor Academy Award in a totally non-English-speaking role? So... Who is that?
I'm just waiting until the clock moves down so you can tell us the language.
And there are 50,000 Chinese restaurants in the United States. What are the 10 most common names for Chinese restaurants in the U.S.? I will say that the word place name China features prominently in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the restaurant names, but you have to guess the whole name. So, 50,000 Chinese restaurants in the U.S. What are the 10 most common names for Chinese restaurants in the U.S.? So,
Chinese restaurant.
Chinese restaurants. No.
Okay.
And the name restaurant isn't even here. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Hello? Anybody? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you
there? Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. This is Vivek and my son, Vayun, from Sunnyvale. So we'll try the Chinese restaurant.
All right.
China Dynasty?
No Dynasty, nope.
Okay, China Gourmet?
No Gourmet.
Okay, one more then. China Delight?
No China Delight.
I like all those guesses,
wow,
too.
Wow, okay. And my son wants to answer the question about the YouTube videos and the song.
Go.
Okay.
Okay, is the song Despacito?
You got it. Good job.
Good job.
Thank you.
That it?
Yep.
All right, thank you.
Well, we can try the actor-director one, too.
Okay, go ahead.
Is it Good Will Hunting?
It is not. The two screenplay guys didn't direct it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. It wasn't Gus Van Sant's debut, either.
Let's see. I think it's your... Yes. Your turn? Go ahead.
Introduced in the 1930s, they're known in Mexico as Pim Pum Pam, and in Germany as Knisper, and Knusper. By what name? Probably not even close to that, but anyway. By what name do Americans know them? Introduced in the 30s, they're known in Mexico as Pim Pum Pam, and in Germany as Knisper, Knasper, and Knusper.
Snap, crackle, and pop.
That is there, Snap, crackle, go. And pop.
Good job. All right.
Thank you for not making me pronounce it a third time. That was, yeah. Sure. Let's see. What now 45-foot tall historic cultural monument built in 1927 can be found on Mount Lee? What now 45-foot tall historic cultural monument built in 1927 can be found on Mount Lee?
When you say now 45-foot tall, is it a living thing that
it
grew?
It is not. It used to be 50 feet tall. It saw better days and then got spruced up again, but this time at 45 feet high.
Does knowing where Mount Lee is have any bearing on this at all?
If you knew pretty close to where it was, yeah, it would help. It's in the United States. Okay. I'll tell you that at least.
Is it a statue that lost its head?
No.
Oh.
I like that. It is not some ruler that fell out of favor or anything like that.
Read it once more.
Sure. What now 45-foot tall historic cultural monument built in 1927 can be found on Mount Lee?
1927.
Yes. It not only is shorter than it used to be, it's not as long. It's, I guess, roughly 9/13 the width it used to be.
It's not the Hollywood sign.
It is the Hollywood sign. The formerly Hollywood Land sign. When they rebuilt it, only made it 45 feet.
Okay. There you go. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Yes, for Chinese restaurants. This is Len from San Francisco.
Hi.
Fongs?
Say it again.
Fongs, F-O-N-G-S, Chinese?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, how about South China Seas restaurant?
No.
South China Seas?
Mm-mm.
No?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Bye. Thank you. All right. Let's see here. The smallest property owned by the National Park Service is whose house in Philadelphia? It is on 0.2 acres. The smallest property owned by the National Park Service and run by the National Park Service is whose house in Philadelphia? It is on 0.2 acres. And I will say, give you an added hint, that it's the house of a Revolutionary War patriot.
Ben Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Not Ben Franklin.
Oh, I'm out. I guess, too.
Or are there other famous Philadelphians? All right.
William Tell.
Not born in this country.
Not born
in
on land that is...
In the colonies that became the United States.
Okay.
So, the smallest property owned and run by the National Park Service is whose house in Philadelphia? It is on 0.2 acres. It was the former home, part, you know, for a few years, of this famous Revolutionary War patriot who was not born in the United States.
Was it Kosciuszko?
Yes.
Which
Thaddeus Kosciuszko.
It was one of the two.
All right. Very good.
I was going to say Lafayette, but you started saying it.
Yeah.
So.
Which two people have the most National Park Service sites named after them?
Roosevelt.
Four each.
Roosevelt has to be one of them.
Teddy Roosevelt's one.
Plus, I get to guess two Roosevelts that way, but yes, Teddy.
And who's the other one?
Audubon or Muir, someone like that.
Nope.
McKinley?
Nope.
Mr. Denali?
Nope.
No, okay.
So, which two people have the most National Park Service sites named after them? Teddy Roosevelt is one. They have four each, by the way. Who is the other person?
Kosciuszko?
Nope, not Kosciuszko. And, okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Is Lincoln...
Lincoln is the other one.
Ah.
Yes.
Oh, that was a total...
Ignore the obvious. Go
ahead. Yep. He didn't, though. Good work.
Let's see. The director's screenwriter, best movie. How about Kevin Costner?
No.
That's
a great guess, because he did win a directing Oscar for his debut.
Ian, but, I don't know if he wrote it, though.
And he probably has picture credit. He probably put some money into that. But I'm betting based on my, that he didn't write it.
No. Okay.
But no, it's a good guess.
First actor in a non-English role. How about Toshiro Mifune?
Ooh. Very good guess, but no.
Is it Japanese?
It's not.
Take what I can get.
The most common name is for the Chinese restaurants. How about Golden Palace?
No. There is no golden anywhere in any of the top ten names. Yes.
Nor silver, I hear.
No, nor silver.
China King?
Well, yes, that happens to be one.
Oh,
very good.
You went with emperor and
I
empress.
Did.
And
yes, China King is number three.
China Queen.
No China
Jack.
Queen.
China House.
Yes, China House is number five. Very good.
China Jack.
No China Jack.
China Ten of Spades.
No. Nothing else in the decks.
Okay. And then Douglas Rain was the voice of Hal in 2001.
Oh,
boy, is that
sense.
Correct. That's one of the three.
Yes,
very nice.
Very good.
Douglas Rain also voiced another evil robot. You know what movie?
Is this in like Wall-E or something?
No.
Can't be that recent.
No, older.
Evil robot. And none of the Star Wars is?
Nope.
Mm. How far back are we going?
Early to mid-70s.
THX 1138.
Nope.
Logan's Run.
Nope.
Early to mid-70s.
Is it a movie?
It is a movie.
Okay.
Well-known director.
Did the director win an Oscar? And, you know.
I don't know if the director's ever won an Oscar. He's definitely been nominated numerous
times. Name me one other person in the movie.
Oh, Diane Keaton.
Sleeper.
Very good.
Yep.
Good job.
Easy. And then Ursula K. Le Guin, she went to Berkeley High.
Yes.
And what other writer was in her graduating class?
Ah, Berkeley High. So.
Well, Philip K. Dick had the same middle initial.
Yeah, and was, he's the one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't know each other in school, but they were in the same graduating class. Thanks a bunch. Great
that
show.
That was a very roundabout guess.
Let's just move on.
And let's see, Cameron, you have something very quick.
Reasonably quick. Sure, this is something that you'll either know it or you don't. Prior to the debut of The Simpsons in 1989, what was the last animated series to air in primetime?
Flintstones?
No.
Okay.
But
animated
it
primetime.
Was a Hanna-Barbera production.
And we've had a guess of Clint Eastwood for picture director and screenplay. Play Misty for Me, I believe, was his debut. And I'm thinking he didn't get all three nominations for that. Mm-hmm. But, certainly a guy with a lot of Oscar nominations.
I'm sorry, would you repeat your question for me?
Sure, and then I have a guess for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to the debut of The Simpsons in 1989, what was the last animated series to air in primetime? And it was a Hanna-Barbera production.
Was it The Jetsons?
No.
That's the same thing as The Flintstones.
Except in the future.
Yeah. Smurfs, Snorks.
Hanna-Barbera.
It was a little more obscure than...
Than the Snorks? Oh, that's
well, not more obscure than the Snorks.
What year was it?
My Little Pony.
Aired from 1972 to 1974.
Oof.
Prime time.
Sleeper, the animated series.
Hanna-Barbera. Huh. Okay.
Hong Kong Phooey.
So
it was right
totally
time.
Animated, no live action mixed in.
Totally animated. What I've seen of it has been totally animated. I can't.
It's a good
say
question.
I've seen the whole
thing. All right, leave that out.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm surprised. Bullwinkle is animated, but that's not prime time.
That's
Saturday morning.
That's
obviously.
60s, though. Okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Hi, Greg.
So I have a few guesses based on my extensive experience dining at low-rent Chinese restaurants
right.
across the U.S. How about China Buffet?
China Buffet, yes, that is number six.
Is that on it? Okay.
Yes.
And then how about China Palace?
No China Palace.
No. And then how about, what was the other one I was thinking of? China City?
No China City.
No. Okay. Anyway, thanks. Fun question.
Thank you.
Can I guess on the director screenplay?
Oh, yeah, please.
Was it P.T. Anderson?
No.
No. I don't know.
His debut was Heart 8, right?
Was it Heart 8?
Yeah, I think Heart 8 was, or whatever the, there was a different title in the U.S., I think. Heart 8. Sure.
I'm wrong.
Right. Yeah. And Jeremy has something very quick.
Sure. What's the only diamond mine in the world that's open to the public is in Murfreesboro in what U.S. state?
Tennessee.
Nope.
Arkansas.
Yes.
Oh. It's called the Diamond State.
That is. That may have something to do with its nickname. If you're 13 and up, it's $10. If you're 6 to 12, it's $6. And if you're under 6, it's free.
All you can grab.
You can keep what you... Exactly.
Yes.
Keep what you find, so they advertise it.
Yeah. They only do that when you can't find anything.
Oh, I'm sure.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, would that be me?
That would be you.
That's what I thought. You always hear this sort of click thing when you go on. Okay, cool. if I understood your question about real characters, mm-hmm. real people depicted in Oscar-winning films, would one of those people be Truman Capote?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Because
excellent.
Because Philip Seymour Hoffman, right?
Perfect, yes. Who's been in many P.T. Anderson films. Anyway.
That was one of the years when I said the right guy won the Oscar.
Amen.
So amazing, you know. And I have another guess about the restaurant, a couple guesses. China Moon?
No China Moon.
And did anyone guess Great Wall of China?
Mm-hmm. Great Wall was mentioned in one name. Somebody got that. It's called Great Wall Chinese Restaurant. Yes, so it's pretty simple.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, I have a few Chinese restaurants.
All right.
And I have a movie with the foreign language. First, let's do the foreign language. La Strada with Anthony Quinn.
That's an excellent guess, but no.
It's an excellent film, and his Harley Davidson camper van is so awesome. So I thought I'd just put it out there.
Harley Davidson.
There you go.
People to go to the library and find it. He stars with Fellini's wife.
Right.
Okay, now let's go to China Garden.
China Garden is, yes.
China Kitchen.
Good. No China Kitchen.
Coach of China. China Taste, Flavor of China, Flavor, China Flavor?
No.
All right, and now here's a shout-out for Harry Shearer, because it's when the levees failed that people died in New Orleans. It wasn't the hurricane that killed them in New Orleans. It was the levee failure. And in the Johnstown flood, it was not a national, it was not natural disaster. It was an earthen dam that burst.
Yeah, but they were killed by water.
Yeah, but so was that guy who died at the beach. That's not natural. He shouldn't have gone in without his water wing.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Well, good night.
Good night. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I think that's me.
It is you.
Hi, this is Terry from Glen Ellen, and I'm going to give a shot to the China.
Okay.
China Village.
No China Village.
Wow. China Sea.
No China Sea.
Taste of China?
No Taste of China.
King Yen?
No King Yen.
Wow. Okay, I haven't yet completely heard the one about the debut film. Could you just repeat the question for me?
Sure. Three people received an Academy Award nomination for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Screenplay for their directing debuts. Two of them are Warren Beatty and Jordan Peele. Who's the third?
Oh, it's not Mike Nichols.
No.
Wow, that is... Wow,
that's a good
okay,
guess,
thank you very much.
Mike Nichols is a good guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
He got her, Mike Nichols.
Thank you very much. And let's see. Do I have anything?
Let me add that was 1983.
You mean the one you're looking...
Yeah.
Nobody's got... 1983. And is the director still working today?
As far as I know. I haven't seen anything from him for a few years, but yeah, why not?
All right.
And I've given away the gender, so that rules out five people. Yeah.
Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Jeremy in San Francisco. Hi. I had a few guesses on the Chinese restaurant name.
Yes.
Lucky Star...
No, Lucky is not mentioned in any of the names.
Lotus Garden?
Nor Lotus.
China Star?
Yes, China Star is number 10.
And China Gate.
No China Gate.
Okay. And then I had a guess for the last animated series to show in prime time.
Go yes. for it.
Would that be Scooby-Doo?
No, but oh, good guess.
Okay, that is a good guess.
All right, cool. That's all I had.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hanna-Barbera show. Were the stars animals or humans?
They were humans, and it was fairly similar to the early years of The Simpsons. It's based around a family, aired on Sunday nights.
Wow.
Wait till your father gets home.
Yes.
Wow.
Nice.
Heard of that.
Oh, I can just remember watching that a couple of times.
All right.
You guys are in cahoots making up shows here.
All right. That's good. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is David in Berkeley.
Hi, David.
I want to answer Ede's question about the oldest birth control, and I think it was a stone placed in the vagina.
Oh.
That's what I learned in a place I worked that did health education. That's very interesting.
Yes.
And I have a guess about, I forgot what my other guess was about. Before somebody said the gender of the person, I was going to say Barbara Streisand.
For the director.
For picture director. Yeah. Did she direct anything before Prince of Tides?
Yeah.
Yentl, I thought. Yentl.
I don't think. Razzie nominated Yentl was not the, That's not it.
That wasn't it. And was the actor for another role, did that have to be a man that you're asking?
For
a foreign speaking role? I was thinking Anna Magnani.
No, it was a man. It was a man.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hello, is this me?
It is you. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I think maybe the Oscar winner director, is that Spike Lee?
It is not.
That's a pretty good guess too. Yeah.
I think he's like 89 or so, not 83, though. Otherwise, quite a good guess.
China Jade?
No China Jade.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. All right, one more call. Please Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Please answer everything.
Are you there? All right, one more call, quick. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, you're on.
Yeah, I had an answer for the Chinese restaurant question.
Go. Yes.
What about New China Buffet?
No New China Buffet. There is a China Buffet, so I'll give you a small bell for that, but no New China Buffet.
Oh, okay. I feel like I've eaten at least two of those, so... thank you. That's all I had.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, time to clean up here. Cameron, what do you got?
I have nothing.
Right.
Once again, all my questions were answered.
Well, that's not a bad sign, necessarily.
Can you two tell me who directed Terms of Endearment?
James Brooks.
James L. Brooks, Jordan Peele, and Warren Beatty are the three people who, for their debut, picture directed screenplay. And lastly, Sir Anthony Hopkins said Hannibal Lecter voice was based on Hal from 2001, A Space Odyssey, Truman Capote, and what four-time Oscar winner? Woman on Golden Pond.
Catherine Hepburn.
And Catherine Hepburn.
That's creepy.
That's strange.
All right. The Chinese restaurant names, the most popular ones in the U.S. that nobody got. Panda Express, of course, your local Panda Express. China Walk. New China, which one guy kind of sort of got. And China Express. So if you didn't get that, apologize. The first man to be nominated for Best Actor in a totally non-English-speaking role.
What language?
That would be Marcello Mastroianni.
Oh,
Divorce Italian Style, 1962.
Yeah.
So if we did not get your call, I do apologize. Please remember the Minds Ever Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My great thanks to our panel tonight. Teacher and cinematographer Cameron Shaw. Thank you very much, Cameron. Cryptographer Jeremy Horowitz. Thank you, Jeremy. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Of course, our thanks to Joanne Marr and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones tonight. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And we hope you will take the time next Sunday at 7 p.m. as well. We hope you will join us then. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.